Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Rizal Zulkapli dan ini Niaga Awal ini. Kita mulakan dengan perkembangan antarabangsa. Jumlah pemohon bantuan pengangguran di Amerika terus meningkat. Terkini seramai 3 juta orang memohon pada minggu lepas. Menurut laporan CNN, ini meningkatkan angka pemohon kali pertama kepada 36.5 juta orang sejak pertengahan Mac. Angka ini adalah sekitar 22% daripada jumlah tenaga kerja di Amerika pada Mac. Peningkatan ini adalah susulan daripada arahan penjarakan sosial yang masih wujud biarpun beberapa negeri telah dibuka di Amerika. Angka terbaru minggu lepas adalah 500,000 lebih tinggi daripada yang diunjurkan sebelum ini. Namun, angkanya adalah dalam aliran menurun berbanding yang tertinggi dicatatkan sebelum ini. Pakar melihat ini sebagai petunjuk yang ekonomi Amerika berada di landasan yang betul susulan keputusan penyambungan aktiviti komersial. Jumlah mereka yang meneruskan permohonan bantuan pengangguran adalah sekitar 22.8 juta orang sehingga 2 Mei. Angka pengangguran untuk Mei dijangka berada pada 25% menurut Goldman Sachs. Dan sementara itu, pakar memberi amaran siri pakej rangsangan yang pelbagai yang diumumkan Amerika hanya mampu memberikan kelegaan dalam jangka pendek. Namun tegasnya, untuk jangka panjang ia hanya akan meningkatkan hutang Amerika. Sebelum ini, Speaker Dewan Perwakilan dari Parti Demokrat mengumumkan merangka pakej rangsangan baru bernilai $3 trillion.
First of all, take monetary policy. Of course, it is possible that the Fed could go to negative interest rates, but I think Chairman Powell has made it very clear that he does not want to do that. That then leaves fiscal measures primarily in the hands of the United States Congress. There's no question that the United States will be able to pass whatever stimulus measures are necessary in order to ensure the economy stays afloat and can survive and rebound later. The only question is how much extra stimulus will be needed. That depends on how long the pandemic, the lockdown, the quarantining has to continue. The consequences are significant. The more money that has to be poured into fiscal stimulus, the more money that the Federal Reserve has to borrow. In the end, that can only be paid back through taxation, and that obviously will place a burden on the U.S. economy for maybe more than one generation.
Dan seterusnya, saham di pasaran Amerika ditutup tinggi dalam dagangan Khamis dengan indeks Dow Jones mengakhiri dagangan naik 377 mata. Dalam masa yang sama, indeks S&P 500 ataupun 500 naik 1.15% dan Nasdaq naik 0.9%. Ini biarpun dengan laporan bahawa wujud peningkatan dalam jumlah pemohon bantuan pengangguran di Amerika sebanyak 3 juta orang pada minggu lepas. Menurut laporan di Associated Press, ketika ini pelabur berbelah bagi kerana pembukaan ekonomi Amerika dijangka pulihkan ekonomi dan mungkin tingkat jangkitan baru. Antara saham yang catatkan kenaikan adalah saham bank dan juga saham syarikat minyak. Ini selepas laporan harga minyak mentah meningkat 9%. Menurut laporan CNBC, antara data yang dijangka diumumkan hari ini adalah data jualan runcit, pengeluaran, perindustrian dan sentimen pengguna di Amerika. Seterusnya, kerajaan Jerman menjangka pendapatan cukai akan menurun sebanyak 98 bilion euro tahun ini susulan krisis akibat COVID-19. Ini adalah kejatuhan pertama pendapatan cukai sejak krisis kewangan yang disaksikan lebih 10 tahun lepas. Menurut penilaian oleh pakar cukai yang dikeluarkan Kementerian Kewangan Jerman, tahun ini pendapatan di peringkat persekutuan negeri dan pusat dijangka menurun kepada 717 bilion euro. Laporan AP menyatakan krisis ini telah turut menjadikan belanjawan Jerman tidak seimbang. Jerman sebelum ini mengumumkan pakej rangsangan bernilai lebih 1 trilion euro untuk membantu PKS dan perniagaan besar susulan arahan tinggal di rumah yang akibatkan aktiviti ekonomi terganggu. Menteri Kewangan Jerman menyifatkan krisis ini sebagai satu bencana alam dan menyatakan kerajaan akan umumkan satu lagi pakej rangsangan baru pada awal Jun. Sementara itu, Jerman menyatakan antara ruang untuk ia melakukan perubahan dalam ekonominya adalah menerusi peningkatan infrastruktur digital yang dilihat banyak membantu ketika ini. Tambahnya, ini akan merangsang inovasi dan harus ditekankan bergerak ke hadapan. Dalam masa yang sama, Olaf Scholz menyatakan ekonomi Jerman bergantung kepada permintaan daripada ekspor Eropah. Tambahnya adalah penting untuk memastikan Eropah akan makmur, untuk memastikan Jerman juga akan makmur. Dan ketidaktentuan masih lagi menyelubungi sektor penerbangan awam. Menurut Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif Lapangan Terbang Dubai, Paul Griffith, biarpun dengan langkah sambungan beberapa penerbangan oleh Emirates pada minggu depan, lapangan terbang berkenaan masih lagi mencari pengendali saringan COVID-19 pada skala besar.
Menurut Gulf Business, lapangan terbang Dubai mengendalikan lebih 86 juta penumpang pada 2019. Kini lapangan terbang tersebut tidak sesibuk tahun lepas. Namun beliau percaya pengembara akan kembali dan pandemik ini adalah seperti pelbagai insiden sebelum ini yang mengganggu penerbangan awam seperti SARS dan serangan 11 September.
The whole tourism supply chain knows how important it is for us to be able to respond. I feel we're all standing on the start line of a sprint race and we're looking at the starter and waiting for that pistol to be fired. And as soon as there is, you know, as soon as that finger tightens around the trigger, we'll be ready to spring into action. That's how I feel we'll be. And we just have to find a way of controlling our costs and preserving liquidity until that time comes. The thing is, there are a lot of people that are offering conjecture on whether it's 18 months or 2 years or less or more, but the problem is it's all conjecture. The honest answer is no one really knows. And I think the difficulty is that there are so many component parts which are absolutely pivotal to inform the decision when we get back to a pattern of travel that we recognize from pre-pandemic.
Ketika ini banyak negara yang masih melarang penerbangan keluar masuk untuk mengawal penularan COVID-19. Lapangan terbang antarabangsa Dubai atau DXB mengendalikan 6 juta penumpang lebih tinggi daripada lapangan terbang kedua tersibuk dunia di London. Pada suku pertama, DXB menyaksikan jumlah penumpang jatuh sebanyak 20% kepada 17.8 juta orang. Bermula pada 21 Mei, Emirates akan menyambung penerbangan ke 9 bandar termasuk London, Paris dan Melbourne. Ketika ini, banyak langkah keselamatan telah diambil termasuk pemakaian topeng muka dan sarung tangan untuk kaki tangan dan penumpang. Namun, DXB menyatakan ia masih lagi belum bercadang untuk mengadakan saringan kepada semua penumpang. Ketika ini, Emirah Arab Bersatu mencatatkan kes positif COVID-19 pada 20,000 orang. Antara yang teruk terkesan di Emirah Arab Bersatu adalah pekerja asingnya. Lapangan terbang Dubai menyaksikan jualan bebas cukai sebanyak $2 bilion pada tahun 2019.
Dan kita akan berhenti berehat seketika. Selepas ini kita akan bincangkan berkenaan dengan rangkuman berita ekonomi dan juga perniagaan pada minggu ini bersama dengan Syahan Said. Kembali selepas ini. Bertemu kembali dan untuk melihat kepada pelbagai perkembangan perniagaan dan juga ekonomi antarabangsa pada minggu ini untuk berikan rangkuman dan juga analisis kita bersama Syahan Said, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi GYIQI. Syahan, we see another increase in the unemployment benefit claim for last week, but these figures are on a downward trend. Do you think with the opening of many states in the US, we can see this trend continue in the next few weeks?
I think, Rizal, this trend will continue on the upsurge. 2 months back, I was sharing in one of your programs, I said this figure will touch 47 million unemployed people by June this year. Mm-hmm. And we have already touched 36.5 million people. And there are some states that are opening and there are some states that are quite hesitant. So political shenanigans, policy uncertainty is creating a lot of chaos in the U.S. economy right now. So I think this figure will continue to increase, and we see more and more uncertainty in the U.S. economy.
Many countries are also slowly resuming its economic activities. Do you have a guesstimation as to how long before global trade could maybe become active again?
I think if we were to take a very realistic picture, it will take U.S. around at least 5 years to come back into the real recovery mode. Other economies, I see China has opened up. There are many economies in Asia that are opening up. So Asia is the growth story. Asia will be driving the global economy. Europe is not in a position to take any position. Japan has become irrelevant. And many other economies are not in a position to take the lead. So Asia, the global economy, is looking towards Asia to take the lead and drive the growth recovery mode.
And you mentioned, you know, Asia is a good place where economy activities are happening again, and the unemployment rate in the U.S. will probably increase to 47 million. Unemployment numbers in the U.S. will probably increase to 47 million in June. With all these indicators be maybe good for investors to look at all again, what do you make of all this information for investors to look at other assets, including oil?
Oil is moving up because there are production cuts that are coming up in June and July. OPEC will do another production cut. Plus, you know, we have seen that shale gas companies have actually become bankrupt. What we witnessed on 20th April when oil prices went down to zero, many shale gas companies are looking for bailout. And the bailout package is between $500 to $700 billion. So I think oil will continue to stabilize. The actual fair market value of oil will stay between $30 and $40 per barrel. But moving forward, we see more and more economies opening up, airlines opening up. So demand for oil will continue to go up. And for next year at IQIHY, we have already said we would not be surprised if oil touches three digits by December 2011. 2021.
This three-digit increase of oil prices increasing to a three-digit, you mentioned about $100 per barrel. What is the probably main reason behind it?
One is supply constraint. Number two, we see a lot of geopolitical risk coming into the landscape. And number three, U.S. dollar will stay weaker moving forward. And the most significant announcement is by July or August, we might see the China and Russia announcing that most of the oil transaction will move away from petrodollar to petroyuan. So that will be a huge news in the energy landscape. So we see more and more energy companies, many economies will moving the transaction into petroyuan. And petroyuan is the future for the energy market.
And we've mentioned earlier, or we've reported earlier, that Emirates will fly again and continue to fly to 9 destinations starting next week. Will this also spur demand for oil? And could this also be an indicator that many other airline companies or airlines would probably continue and start flying again?
Yes, airline industry is one of those variables that contribute significantly to the demand of oil. Not only Emirates, but many other airlines have started, the operations, especially in Asia Pacific. So I think demand for oil will continue to go up because of the airline industry picking up. It won't be a very fast pace recovery. It will be a slow pace. But eventually, I think in 2021, we see a significant demand coming from the airline industry.
Let's go back to the U.S. again. The Speaker of the House of Rep, Nancy Pelosi, is also pushing for a $3 trillion stimulus package. Do you think this will materialize, looking at how the Republican controlling the Senate have responded to it?
I doubt, Rizal, because policy uncertainty has become so much that it is not making an impact. We have all seen that Fed has increased amount of balance sheet from 4.5 to $6.7 trillion. And they continue to increase the balance sheet. But the challenge is, it is not bringing economic confidence. Mm-hmm. And we have seen the report, an interview of one of the top hedge fund managers, Stanley Druckenmiller, who said that VC valuations are all-time high, and this is not going to bring confidence back into the market. And investors are feeling nervous because of high valuation. There is policy uncertainty, political shenanigans, and above all, the economy is showing lackluster performance which is not bringing any good prospect to the U.S. economy. So I think any new policy or any new stimulus coming into the economy will not make any impact. Rather, it would increase the income inequality in the U.S. And we have already seen that, you know, 36 million people have been unemployed despite the stimulus package from the Fed and by the U.S. government. So I think policy uncertainty has got a huge impact, which is making an impediment to the U.S. economic growth.
But you don't think that this will probably help the small businesses and people who are out of jobs right now?
I doubt, because I said, you know, this stimulus package is not bringing any confidence in the economy. Rather, you know, people generally think that we are heading more towards stagflation, because the Fed has clearly mentioned that, you know, monetary policy has done with it and they cannot make any impact through monetary policy. It is all about fiscal policy, how fiscal policy, expansionary fiscal policy will make an impact. I doubt, because investors are not feeling confident coming from the U.S. government.
And the Fed has also indicated that it will probably not go into the negative interest rates territory, but Goldman is predicting that the unemployment rates to be as high as 25%, or could be as high as 25% for May. Do you think Jerome Powell would probably give in and consider this in June?
Right now, most of the advanced economies are in negative. You see Switzerland, you see ECB, you see Japan, all have got negative interest rates. As I speak right now, $17.5 trillion of global bonds, global sovereign bonds, are trading in negative. And U.S. is the only economy where 10-year treasury is trading at 0.6. So I think eventually I would not be surprised if U.S. treasury goes to zero in the next 1 year, and Fed will reconsider its economic policy, and they might go into negative territory as well. So once they go into negative territory, it will be bad for the economy. We have already seen that ECB cannot do anything. Europe, in the last quarter of 2019, achieved a growth rate of 0.1. So with so much of negative interest rate, if Europe cannot do anything, I think it will not have any impact on the U.S. economy. Yes, Fed will definitely consider, and they will go back to the negative interest rate, not maybe in this quarter, maybe in the last quarter of 2020.
On that note, thank you very much, Shan. Saya Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Juwai IQI, membincangkan berkenaan dengan rangkuman pelbagai laporan dan juga data perniagaan ekonomi pada minggu ini. Kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini. Bertemu kembali, Ketua Pengarah Pertubuhan Perdagangan Sedunia WTO umum letak jawatan berkuat kuasa 31 Ogos sebelum tamat penggalnya, Roberto Azevedo, memaklumkan keputusan peribadi itu dibuat selepas berbincang dengan keluarga. Beliau mengetuai WTO sejak 2013. Peletakan jawatan awal oleh Azevedo ini berlaku ketika ekonomi global berdepan tempoh mencabar. Ini termasuk akibat pandemik coronavirus yang menjejaskan dagangan dan juga ekonomi global, yang menyebabkan juga perdagangan antarabangsa kini dalam krisis. Perdagangan global sebelum ini sudah terkesan dengan tekanan politik dan ketidaktentuan seperti Brexit serta perang dagangan antara China dan juga Amerika Syarikat. Perdana Menteri Jepun Shinzo Abe tarik semula perintah darurat di 39 daripada 47 kawasan di negara itu. Bagaimanapun, 8 kawasan berisiko tinggi termasuk Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto dan Hokkaido kekal laksana perintah berkenaan.
Tegas Abe, perintah darurat akan kembali dilaksanakan sekiranya jumlah jangkitan kembali meningkat.
Terima kasih. 流行の恐れは常にあります。新たな日常に向かって社会経済活動を本格化することは当然、そのリスクを高めます。皆さんお一人一人が十分な警戒を怠れば2週間後の未来は予断を許しません。感染者の増加スピードが高まってくれば残念ながら2度目の緊急事態宣言もあり得る。
Menurut beliau, pakar kesihatan akan buat penilaian berhubung tahap kembali jangkitan sama ada perintah darurat di kawasan berisiko tinggi boleh ditarik semula. Jepun laksana perintah darurat sebulan bermula 7 April lalu dan di 6 bandar. Ia kemudian diperluaskan ke seluruh negara. Keputusan melonggarkan perintah darurat ini dibuat ketika kadar jangkitan di negara itu menunjukkan penurunan. Ini bagi mengelak ekonomi lumpuh. Negara matahari terbit itu catat 16,000 kes positif COVID-19 dengan 680 kematian.
India umum pemberian makanan percuma kepada pekerja migran selama 2 bulan. Ia sebahagian daripada pelan ekonomi ataupun pelan rangsangan ekonomi bernilai $266 bilion yang diumumkan bagi menangani kesan perintah kawalan yang dilaksanakan kerana COVID-19.
Menteri Keuangan Nirmala Sitharaman jelaskan pemberian makanan percuma bernilai $463 juta itu akan memanfaatkan 80 juta migran.
I know migrants are also moving out, either they're going back, very few are coming back. Irrespective, we are saying for the next 2 months, they shall get free rice or wheat.
Sebelum ini, ribuan migran melarikan diri dari bandar untuk kembali ke kampung halaman mereka. Sebahagian daripada mereka bimbang pelaksanaan sekatan bakal menyebabkan mereka kebuluran. Keadaan pekerja migran ini yang disifatkan tidak mendapat perhatian mencetuskan kemarahan rakyat.
Dan kompleks beli belah di Thailand bersiap sedia untuk memulakan semula operasi selepas 2 bulan ditutup bagi mengekang penularan COVID-19. Pembantu kedai mula menyusun semula stok barangan, membersihkan unit kedai sementara, tukang cuci, melakukan disinfeksi laluan awam di kompleks yang terlibat.
Pemerintah dijangka membuat pengumuman pada Jumaat dan kompleks membeli belah akan dibuka sepenuhnya pada Ahad. Sebelum ini, kompleks beli belah hanya dibuka kepada pelanggan bank dan juga pelanggan restoran yang membeli makanan bungkus. Pemilik pusat membeli belah menerapkan langkah keselamatan bagi memastikan penularan COVID-19 tidak berleluasa. Setiap pintu akan diletakkan pemeriksa suhu selain 300 cecair pembasmi kuman ditempatkan di lokasi strategik. Selain itu, setiap pengunjung diwajibkan memakai penutup hidung dan mulut. Antara lain, pelanggan juga perlu memuat turun aplikasi dan mendaftarkan diri semasa masuk dan meninggalkan pusat membeli belah. Sehingga Khamis, Thailand melaporkan 3,018 kes dengan 56 kematian.
Dan paparan itu mengakhiri Niaga Awani. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awani Berita Segenap Dimensi. Saya Rizal Zulkapli. Salam hormat.